This guy
Hello,
might get a bit far.
everybody.
Sorry,
Oh,
again. Sorry,
bro,
I'm
man.
sorry, I'm
Bro,
sorry,
man.
I'm
You're moving
sorry.
like Eric.
I
Moving like Eric, man.
I'm sorry, eh? It's not my fault.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Down the Wings podcast. I'm your host, William, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Gabriel. I'm not even going to ask how you're doing. I don't
you
care.
Know
I don't
doing.
I don't care. I don't care.
Man.
I promise you, I don't
oh,
care.
Oh, man, it wasn't me that All played. Right. I'm just letting you know.
Nah, man. Gabriel, how you doing, man?
Could be better. Let's say that. Let's keep it like
could
that.
Be better. Could be I've better. Got a question for you, just off the bat. Now, what was that season where Erik ten Hag had that Ajax team cooking, man? What was that season?
Man.
Now, what was that season, man?
That was a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, that Ajax team was good, you know.
Yeah,
that was a very good Ajax team.
They had talent in that team.
Yeah,
man.
Great talent.
More talent than
great
this,
talent,
in this
man.
Team right now. I'm
great
saying.
Talent, man. Nah, Erik ten Hag, what a manager. What a manager. Yeah, Manchester United, 0, Crystal Palace, 4. Erik ten Hag, take a bow, son. He's done it again. He's done it again. We
Don't
can't stop this
one.
Man. We
Don't
can't stop. We can't stop this man. He just keeps doing it.
Yeah,
he
man.
Keeps doing it.
Yeah, man.
Like, in all seriousness, though, I'm not even going to attempt to try and break down what on earth I bared witness to at Selhurst Park on Monday night. Because for me, that was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen in terms of application of a plan, right? And it was one of the worst games and one of the worst things I've actually been involved in, and to see was terrible. So we're not even going to talk about the game. We know where it was, 4-0. Mm-hmm. We were no from minute one to minute 90, we were nowhere near the game. But we do have things that we have to talk about because
there's a lot of discourse
this
around
can't continue. Whatever's happening at Manchester United, this can't continue. We're pressing the red button today because we are in absolute danger of collapse at the moment. 13 losses for the first time in Premier League history. Our worst start to a season since 77-78. Gabriel, where were you in 77-78? Producer Julian, where were you in 77-78?
We weren't even thoughts in our dad's brains.
There you go. There you go.
We weren't even brain cells,
there
bro.
There you go. 81... I'm sure it's 81 goals conceded. I'm sure something...
So I can get a step for
I'm
you.
I'm pretty sure.
Bro, I can get a step for you.
We are in the absolute trenches at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. What is going on, Gabriel, man?
I don't know what to tell you, bro. Yesterday was... so many individual errors. I've lost count of how many there were. The worst part about it is that a lot of them led to goals or shots on target. Injuries haven't helped us. It's not an excuse anymore, I'm afraid. We've been dealing with it throughout the whole season. And you like to think that a team of our size and a team of our ilk should be just dealing with it like big teams do. But we don't, because we don't act like a big team. We act like a team that's surviving Premier League life right now. We have a manager that I've been defending for a very long time. And I'm not fully off the Erik ten Hag train, but it might be my next stop.
No, I've got
the
to
next
ask
bad results.
Man, Erik ten Hag, is he the man that's going to take us back to glory? I think that those we're asking this every week, and I'm hoping that your answer does change, man. Because I think I'm going to go on and categorically say
you're out.
I don't think he's the man, man. I don't think for me in terms of Manchester United, and I've been thinking about this a lot today. I think with a lot of Manchester United fans, we like the idea of Erik ten Hag.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I mean the idea that we've got a new manager who's progressive, who wants to impart a style of play, who's shown a sense of strength. And, you know, he's when he's been under pressure, he's seemingly, you know, beat through that, and he's seemingly shown some of the qualities that we look for in a manager. He's quite young. He's supposed to be, as I say, progressive and
modern manager.
That's exactly what we were promised,
right?
And that's the idea of Erik ten Hag. But on Monday night, what I saw was what Erik ten Hag currently is. And I think what's important is that we can't look at that. I don't think that's a game that we can judge him on. as negative as I have been,
mm-hmm.
to start off this episode, right? And as much as I don't think he is the man, I don't think you can judge him on Monday night.
No.
The simple point, the simple fact being is the squad was totally down decimated. Tools. It was a preseason team that we had to put out.
Did you see that bench?
You know, no Bruno Fernandes. It was crazy.
Oh my
bunch
God.
Of kids. But when Bruno Fernandes is missing games due to injury, mm-hmm. you know that you're in a serious crisis.
I saw a stat actually that he 500 plus games without missing a game through injury, obviously through rest and other means, but no injury. That's insane.
No injury. He's an animal. Bruno Fernandes is an Iron animal. Man. And when you look at that, you're like, Erik ten Hag, the squad was completely decimated. You've got no back four, completely mm-hmm. makeshift back four. Mm-hmm. The midfield wasn't like, it was so weak, they couldn't fight. You've got a 19-year-old in there. You've got Mason Mount. You've got who's half fit. Mm-hmm. You've got Eriksen, who's not got the legs anymore.
Past it.
You know, in terms of the front line, you've got Højlund, who's still a kid. He's still learning his trade. You've got Antony, who's been in and out of form this season.
And is not a good football Garnacho. Player.
And you've got Garnacho, who's obviously he's still learning his trade as well. I don't think that game in isolation, you can say, if you weren't Erik ten Hag out necessarily going into that game, mm-hmm. that's not the game you come off the back of and say, we've got to get the manager out. Right. For the simple fact is, that squad was awful. Mm-hmm. But for me, the sort of, the mere fact that this is an accumulation of what we have seen this season from Manchester United is the reason why I'm saying this guy is not the man to take us forward. Because we know that we've had injuries, we know that we've had difficulties, but if you can't change that, if you can't make us sit in, dig in, Selhurst Park under the lights isn't an easy game for the best of teams.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're going to go into that game naively thinking that you can play the same way that you have been playing all season with no real midfield, players running all over the place, no real plan going forward, no real plan defensively. Mm-hmm. If that was your idea going into that game, I'm sorry, but this job is too big for you.
No.
The job is too big for Erik ten Hag. I think it's over. And I think, right, we might, you know, we're gonna limp into that cup final. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, whatever happens in that cup final, Erik ten Hag, I think the job is too big for you.
There's not a lot that I can say to really disagree with you. But the only reason as to why I prefer not to see him get sacked is that I don't want to go through this. We give a manager 2 years, he's not up to it, we have to get a new one in. We give the next manager 2 years, he's not up for it, we're going to get in. Because when are we actually going to give a man another season, in this case, 3 years, 4 years, to really implement his ideas, to really bring in all the players that we want, for us to really, really give a judge and say he's had enough time, it's not working, let's get him out at that point. If you keep going around this merry-go-round of every 2 years, new manager, then what does that really say about us? What does that say about this rebuild project that we're trying to do? I said it last week. I've been saying it for the last few weeks. You can't keep rebuilding if you keep breaking down the bricks. So if you want to sack him and get another manager, by the way, the manager market is not bursting with names unless you want to take a chance on any of the managers that are doing successful around Europe. A lot of them are young. Amorim from Sporting, he's young. Thiago Motta from Bologna, he's young. Xabi Alonso, he'll never come to us, but he's still a young manager. Arne Slot, I'm not sure how old he is, but another Dutch manager, is that the way you want to go? I don't want to see another one. So this merry-go-round, it can't keep going, bro. So whether you like Ten Hag right now, whether you love him tomorrow, whether you hate him, I like to think that you don't want to keep going on this merry-go-round of next manager in, next manager out. This can't be healthy and it can't be sustainable.
As a manager in the modern-day game, I think more than ever now, you have to earn the right to even have a project. You can't come in and say, this is a project, this is a rebuild, and along the way, you're not showing us glimpses as to why us as fans should buy into that. And the reason I say that is, last season, I'll agree with the fact there's a sentiment that we overachieved last season.
Yes.
And that's why this season has been as difficult as it has been. For sure, we did overachieve. We finished third. Carabao Cup, whatever you think of the Carabao Cup, what we did with that is that we broke the duck of not having won a trophy in six years, which is very important.
Exactly.
Very important if you want to, be a team of winners.
Right.
And you can only win what's in front of you. We didn't win the Premier League, you know.
Slow down.
We didn't win that.
Too big.
But In terms of that, I think we did overachieve. But just because we overachieved last season doesn't mean that this season we haven't massively underachieved. And when you're in a project, what you want to see is glimpses of progression. You say bricks, you can't build a building if you don't knock down the bricks. You can't
keep rebuilding if you keep knocking down the bricks.
Knocking down the bricks, right? But I'll put this to you. If you're putting the bricks in the wrong place and you're not even following the actual structure, so you're the architecture. Not even
slapping cement.
Yeah, you're not even putting the things in the right place. Should I not knock that down to make sure the building is correct? Should I not do that? Because at this moment in time, Erik ten Hag's the builder. He's putting everything together.
Right.
And I'd argue he's putting the bricks in all the wrong place.
Okay.
He's the man, he's the idea of the man. And I think you mentioned it rightly there, right? The manager market isn't bursting with real names.
I think
it's thin. It's very thin, right? And I've even said it before in terms of if Erik ten Hag wasn't Man United manager at this moment in time and he was still at Ajax, mm-hmm. Ineos would have been all over Erik ten Hag to come in.
Yes.
But that's because of the idea of Erik ten Hag. In reality, this is what Erik ten Hag is. But that doesn't mean the idea of the manager that we all want Erik ten Hag to be, we should then reject that in future. Mm. Because there are names that aren't the big European names, aren't the most established names in Europe, but they could come in, impart their ways, and they could be that guy.
Yeah, but you like to think that for a big club, look at Liverpool, they've got, well, he's walking out the door, but they've had Jurgen Klopp for such a long time. Man City, they've had Pep Guardiola for so long now. They have established managers that, yeah, they pay them the big bucks because they know what they're going to get. Arteta, to be honest, he was a... We'll take a chance on Arteta and let's see what happens because he came into the job very unproven. Mauricio Pochettino for Chelsea, they thought they were getting bang for their buck. That's why they sacked Potter because they took a chance on him. It didn't work, so they got what is supposed to be tried and tested. And you like to think for a big club, that's really what you want. You want to pay somebody the big bucks because they're going to get you the results. But there's not that many big names that are available and are in world football. So you're going to have to take a punt on any of these new managers that you're taking a liking to. We took one on Ten Hag. I'd like to think, give him a chance.
We took a punt on Erik ten Hag, but...
Because he wasn't... I wouldn't say he was an established European pedigree manager.
Ajax to Manchester United is a massive jump.
Yes.
That's a massive jump in a job. And of course, we did take a chance in bringing him into the club. But just because we took a chance on him and doesn't mean when things start to fail that it's all of a sudden that we shouldn't do that anymore. That shouldn't be the plan. If the plan was we're going to invest time in a young, up-and-coming, modern manager and it's not worked with Erik ten Hag, mm-hmm. just because he's not that guy doesn't mean the idea of a modern manager that really still exists out there, they're not the guy either. It doesn't mean that we have to go back to our this big names, which we'll talk about in a bit. Yeah. But in terms of that, I think Man United fans will be more than happy if we got rid of Erik ten Hag and we brought in another modern manager that isn't as established. I think they would be happy. I think the reason why there is that sort of friction between a lot of fans wanting to keep Erik ten Hag and a lot of fans wanting to get rid of him is that we feel that he's the best example of that expansive young modern coach out there. And to get rid of him sort of vindicates these players who have let down a number of managers. But I would be more than happy to continue this project that we already have with a young, expansive manager with a different young, established, young and upcoming manager.
I just don't like him.
He hasn't given me reason to like him recently, man.
Fair enough. Maybe I'm in the minority where it's like I still have that little string of hope. But like I said, it's for the reasons that I don't want to keep going around this merry-go-round like, let's give this guy a chance. Let's give somebody a chance. But if you're going to give them a chance, give them 2-3 full seasons and then you can really make your judgment at that point. If we bring in another manager now, let's put this scenario in place where, let's say, off the top of my head, Thiago Motta. He comes in. You see how Bologna are playing. They pass it. They move it. They're the sexiest team in Italy right now. He comes and brings that to Man United and it's not working. And everybody wants, he said. The moment that happens, everybody will look back to the Ten Hag days and they will look at games like now, they'll look at games like Liverpool, they'll look at games like the Carabao Cup final, they'll look at all the shiny, shiny moments and be like, we should have given this guy more time. It's not tried and tested that you're just going to bring somebody in and he's just going to fix all of our problems. It's not going to happen. There's going to be problems that he fixes, but then problems that will arise again.
But why
and it will surround about, it will surround him not... It will surround him having to work with a lot of the same players that Erik ten Hag will also have to work with, whether he keeps the job or not.
Why should he stay then? Why would you keep Erik ten Hag at Manchester United?
For me, I think he needs to get... For what we're bringing in and for what Ineos are promising us with all these new people upstairs, new ownership, new this, new that. He's probably even going to get a new office at this rate. Hey, give the man a chance and let's see what he can do with a competent footballing staff. As I said, I don't want to keep going around this merry-go-round. We could get another manager in and he might be even worse than Ten Hag. So I'd rather us just keep what we have, but let's give him a chance to actually work with these guys and let's see what he can do. If he's rubbish after a couple months, then get rid of him. I'm not saying give him a new contract, but I'm just saying results like Crystal Palace and the season that we've had is just going to cut his leash a lot shorter and he's going to have to do a lot more work to just impress the higher-ups.
So say we do keep him for a couple of months into next season, mm-hmm. and we're in that scenario where come October, November, come December, come January, where Erik ten Hag's done and he's gone, mm-hmm. right? Where does that leave Manchester United's long-term plan? Where it does leave you is you're in the middle of the season, it's not worked with another manager. Mm-hmm. You've given him another summer to bring in another bunch of players that fit his image, mm-hmm. and we have to sack him and get rid of him and bring in someone else in the middle of the season, which is much more difficult to do in the middle of the season. Where in the summer, you have the opportunity mm-hmm. to cut your losses, get rid of him, Ineos, bring in your own person and really, really kickstart your project. Because if we're 6 months into next season, Man United have limped into a new season with a manager that both players and a lot of fans are unsure of. And the whole Ineos era hasn't really kickstarted. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of that situation. As beautiful and as nice and as maybe respectful as that seems, giving Erik ten Hag an extra 6 months isn't the right thing to do.
What I will say to that is, I think at this moment in time, the board, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you keep ten Hag and listen, it all depends on what you think Manchester United's expectations are for next year. Now, if your expectations are, we need to crack into the top four, we need to challenge for the Premier League, then I'm sorry, you're overshooting the mark. Because we're not a big enough team to be doing all that.
I think it's regardless of what we think our expectations are.
I think it is.
The reality is we just have to, Manchester United have to begin our project really and truly. Right, mm-hmm. I still don't think Erik ten Hag has really begun his project.
So even if you sack ten Hag today and his replacement comes tomorrow, your expectations for the manager, whether he does well or he does...
We're at the beginning of a project.
Oh, so you're going to say, oh, it's my first season for the manager. We're probably going to be fifth, sixth. Oh, he's trying some ideas. We'll probably be fifth, sixth, seventh next year with ten Hag in the job. The reason that you would sack him is because you have... a 100% certainty that the next manager is going to do 100 times better than Ten Hag, which means he's going to fire us up the league, which means we're going to finish basically in the Champions League spots. We're not going to do that under a new manager or under Ten Hag.
That's not what that means. It does. Getting rid of Erik Ten Hag doesn't mean we want the next guy to come in and be Sir Alex Ferguson straight away.
Oh, no, the fans do. No.
That's not what that means. No chance. I disagree with that, man.
I think the fans are not... they're not ready for a real rebuild, because real rebuild is not sack a man and then everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows tomorrow. No. It's going to rain before the sun starts shining. Yeah, it's going to look ugly before it looks nice. This is the ugly time of what Erik ten Hag's time at Manchester United is. This is his sort of rebuild and he's the face of it. It looks ugly right now, but give him some time. You never know. Couple months into the season, he might show you some things that may be like, oh, you're popping a couple pimples here. Things are turning up for you. And if it's not, then cool, suck him off and get someone else. Because whether you keep him or whether you don't, Man United are not going to be doing much next year, bro. I'm telling you right now.
Fair play. But
that's my opinion. I might be wrong.
No. What we have had. Nah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. You haven't moved me, but hopefully you've moved someone at home.
I'm telling you, man. If you think the merry-go-round is what we need,
sack him right now.
What I will ask you, right, there has been links to other managers, right? There has been links to other managers. Mm-hmm. We've got a scenario where Jose Mourinho has been linked to Manchester United this morning.
I saw that.
But we've had heavy links to Thomas Tuchel. Mm-hmm. Starting on Mourinho, would you bring Jose Mourinho back to Manchester United?
Again, this, you know what? You said it earlier. You like the idea of someone. You like the idea of Jose Mourinho. But at the same time, you like the idea of Jose Mourinho 10 years ago, where he was a winner, successful. Teams are hard to beat. You never wanted to play against them. The Jose Mourinho of 2024, I don't think that's a man for even club football anymore. I'll be so real. International manager, I think he would smash it as an international manager, actually. But club football, and especially for Man United, you never want to go back to your ex. I don't want to see it.
What about Thomas Tuchel?
He kind of fits his profile in terms of an established manager who's won things, who should be, in an ideal world, bang for your buck. If he was to sack Ten Hag and Thomas Tuchel came through the door, the prospect of the football that we play, it's not looking good. There's a lot of terrorista football in there. However, he fits the profile of a manager that I like. Established, he's going to win things, and he's going to fix a lot of the problems that we have actually right now, namely the defence. I wouldn't be mad at it, but... Eh.
What did you make of the whole Bayern Munich, Erik ten Hag links, and the Manchester United Thomas Tuchel links? We could see a manager swap. What did you make of that?
It was interesting, actually. I don't know what Bayern Munich are kind of seeing at the minute in terms of here's a man that is under all this pressure in the world. Defensively, he's all over the place, and you've just lost the league for the first time in like, what, 10, 11, 12 years? I don't even know what it was. They've had a stranglehold over that league for such a long time. Surely, if you're going to get rid of someone who's already an established manager in European football, surely you'd want to get somebody of that same ilk and somebody that doesn't have so many question marks surrounding their bald head. So I was very confused with that link. I would take it. I would take it tomorrow. I won't lie to you.
You'd let him go to Bayern Munich?
If I would take him, to be honest, if Ten Hag was to get sacked tomorrow.
Because the idea is Erik ten Hag wants to stay at Manchester United. Mm-hmm. But if Manchester United sack him, he'll go to Bayern. And obviously that opens up the opportunity to bring in Thomas Tuchel. Mm-hmm. Paul Scholes wants Thomas Tuchel. There seems to be some kind of liking towards
Thomas
Tuchel.
I wouldn't be too upset. I'm saying now I wouldn't like the style of football that he would bring, but if it's going to help us fire us up the table and start this rebuild that everybody keeps talking about, then sure.
No. Do you think he can do that?
Oh, yeah.
So you think he can make us better next season?
Yes.
So if Thomas Tuchel took the job today, would we be better off than we would have been if we kept Erik ten Hag?
Probably.
So does that mean you make that decision then?
This is what you do. You're like a spider. You strangle your little web and you wait for the flies to just come in and then you eat the flies.
Answer the question, buddy.
I would like to see Ten Hag in the job at least for a couple of months going into the season. If he's showing the same form that he is essentially now and what we've been seeing throughout this whole season, then he has to go immediately. And if Tommy Tuchel is available, bring him in the door. Because Tommy... I should call him Tommy like he's my boy.
That's your boy, man.
Yeah, he might be at this point. I don't know. Thomas Tuchel is somebody that, like I said, he fits the profile in a manager that I like. Just be established and he should be bang for your buck. I don't want to bring somebody in that has essentially the same question marks as our current manager. So give the current manager a little bit of time. And if he's still not doing well, sack him off and then bring in this case, Thomas Tuchel. I take it.
Just in closing, right, the players can't get off the hook. We spent most of the episode talking about the manager.
Good.
But I don't think the players can get off with this one. Obviously, that Sellers Park performance was terrible. Mm-hmm. You wanted to talk about Casemiro. The floor is yours, my bro.
Casemiro can't play for Man United again. And it's not because I don't like him personally. It's not because he's not a nice lad in the changing room. I'm sure a lot of people like him. He's finished. He's past it. And I know he was playing out of position yesterday alongside a 36-year-old, which you happen to like. But I'm very sorry to say he can't play. And I don't know if it's because he literally can't he can't run no more. I don't know if it's because he just doesn't want to play for us no more. I don't know if it's because he doesn't care. I was going to introduce film study because I'm very comfortable in saying that three of the four goals are on his head. The first goal, he's playing centre back. He's not playing DM where he can take a little bit more chances and go a little bit more forward. Olise does him and he leaves his 36-year-old partner and Kobbi Mainoo to come and pick up the pieces. I know Kobbi Mainoo's a good player. He's not Jesus. He's not N'Golo Kante in his prime. He's not covering that ground. And Olise does the mad thing and he scores. People have been coming for Onana as well. I don't like that because he's been one of our best players throughout the past few weeks. And now people are going to jump on him and say, bring David De Gea back. Give me a break. But let me get back to that Brazilian. Let me get back to him. The second goal, if I'm not mistaken, was that the cross, the low cross into the box?
I believe so.
Okay, who's marking Mitchell, who scores the goal? It's Casemiro, because he shouldn't be goal side of you. You should have him. You're not even supposed to be a centre, but you're a DM. You should be knowing what to do in that situation. He doesn't do it right. If I'm not mistaken, I might be getting the order wrong now, but it might be the third goal or the fourth goal. Who cares? But the third goal, cool. He's running back. He wins the ball back, cool. And he's running. You could square that back to your goalkeeper, who's supposed to be one of the best ball-playing goalkeepers in the world. Or you could kick it off Mateta, and it can go out for a goal kick. We can get the ball back. He doesn't do anything. He gets robbed. I don't even remember. Was it Elise again? I don't remember. Was it Warburton? I don't know. Somebody slapped it in. Onana probably should have done better, cool. But that doesn't happen if Casemiro cares. He doesn't. And even when they hit the post, who lost the ball again? Oh, come to see it. It was Casemiro, bro. He's finished. I didn't think I was going to go on a rant about Casemiro today. I was going to tell you he can't play for Man United again, but I've just sold it to myself. Three goals on his dome piece against Crystal Palace? In when we're trying to fight for any resemblance of a decent season? Nah, he can't go.
Do you say drop him for the last
he,
two games?
Yes, he shouldn't play again. Would you play? He shouldn't play again.
Would you play him in the FA Cup?
No, he shouldn't play again. Send a message. Listen, if Ten Hag does this, I'm back on the wagon. Send a message to these players that, look, this season is what it is, but I'm the manager until they sack me. So if you don't want to play here and you don't want to play for me, cool. You'll be gone in the summer. You're not playing again. You need to show some bottle and send a message to these players and show these players who are your guys and who's not. Who's down for the cause and who's not. Because Casemiro, I will tell you for free, he's not down. He's not here for it. He shouldn't play again.
You know what, yeah?
I don't know how many years he has on his contract as well. I'm on my knees. Saudi need to come and give him the bag. Not because he deserves it, but because of his name. He's won 5 Champions Leagues. Did you know that? Will, he's won 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm just letting you know.
On that note, man, thank you for that. Nice that you can come in and like just vent on the podcast and just like that. And just like, you know, lay it all out, man.
Yeah.
No diddy, but just lay it, you know what I mean? Just do your thing, man, and just like get that across, man. It's nice. I hope that makes you feel better.
Producer Julian, sorry for shouting down the studio, man. I'm sorry for shouting it down. But I had to get it.
Nah, it's all love, though. Hopefully, we've got Arsenal next, man. I don't know.
God.
Just quickly, yeah. Oh. Just very quickly before we finish up. What do you do in that game? Because I don't know whether it's a play. I'm of the feeling you play the kids, but I have a feeling Man United turn up in that game. It's such a Man United thing to do.
That's
to turn up.
As well, you know. Flipping hell.
I don't know, but for me, as I said it weeks ago...
You don't even know
ago,
who's going to be healthy for that game, bro.
I said it weeks ago, the season's over for me. Yeah. The FA Cup final is what I'm looking forward to.
How are and you even looking forward to that?
One-off game against Man City and no David De Gea. There's no David De Gea. Cool. That's why I'm looking forward to that. But that Arsenal game could either be... they could avenge their 8-2. They could avenge that game. Or Man United could win that. And what that means, and hand Manchester City a fourth league title in a row.
Can I put some rose tinted glasses on you right
Go
now,
on then.
All the Man United fans? Would you take it, and it's a question as well, would you take it if we just tank the rest of the season and miss all of this Europa League, Europa Conference League? Would you take that as
you know
a silver
what?
Lining?
You
to
know
all
what?
This?
I'm not fussed anymore. I'm not fussed about Europa League, Europa Conference League.
Mm-hmm.
I think the season's gone the way it has.
Mm.
And that's why I think it's now a blank canvas for whatever. For me, the season's over. The season's over. I'm only looking... The Premier League season's over. I'm not banking on us doing anything to get into any European competition at this moment in time. I think we are, our season does reside around that FA Cup final. And I don't even know. I haven't even looked at the
fixture. Oh, to be fair, if we win the FA Cup, then we'll go to the Europa League anyway. So
let's see, man. But guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Down to the Wings podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. And make sure you leave a rating. We'll catch you on the flip side.
I need a paracetamol.